Wisconsin Eye coverage of the Tuesday's election continues from the State Senate parlor. We're fortunate enough to be interviewing Attorney General-elect Brad Schimmel, Republican, now District Attorney of Waukesha County. Yep. January, the Attorney General. Congratulations, Mr. Schimmel.
Thank you, Steve.
One of the first things you said last night, and let's talk about this. I'm paraphrasing now, but give me the exact quote. Drug dealers, watch out. Talk about that.
They're public enemy number one, was what I told them.
What are you going to do?
Well, I have a comprehensive plan for dealing with heroin and prescription opiate problem, and we are going to go after it. And you know, in Waukesha County, we learned how to do it, and we've been leading the state in prosecuting drug dealers who cause death, and we're going to take that training statewide. We're going to make sure that every agency, every law enforcement agency has the training for their officers to get these investigations done well. We'll make sure DOJ has the resources to help them if they're running into trouble with resources to get it done. And we're also going to make sure the prosecutors can handle the cases, because these are more complicated than a standard first-degree intentional homicide case. It's very complex witness issues, proof problems, and you've got to get a jury past the notion that this person used the drugs voluntarily in most cases. I mean, almost never is anybody sticking the needle in someone else's arm. So it's a tough case to prove, but it's necessary if we're going to take these drug dealers off the streets. So we've got to make sure those DAs have those resources too. We're also going to, that's the part going after them, making them public enemy number one.
Are you going to be asking for a lot more state money in terms of GPR to attack this problem?
Well, you know, when you look at all of the different things that we're going to have to focus on, internet crimes against children, human trafficking, violence against women, all of those things, it does seem that we're going to have to ask at some point for some money to help support these things, because there are a lot of big challenges we're facing right now.
Internet crimes against women. Now,
or children.
Children. Yeah. I'm sorry. Excuse me very much. The current Attorney General said he's made progress, but he's also said that he's astonished at the number, how big the problem is. So are you going to ramp up that in a major way?
We're going to have to, because these are opportunities to catch child predators before they get their hands on kids. And with the internet, the people that are using child pornography on the internet distributing, of course, they're doing damage every time they view that. They are now perpetuating an assault of a child. So we've got to go after those people and put an end to this. So yeah, as the numbers coming in from the Clearinghouse, which is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, as those numbers have tripled, it absolutely is necessary that we're going to have to increase the resources we're putting onto this. And part of that's going to be making sure that the local Internet Crimes Against Children task force partners are trained up and ready to take it. We've also got to be in communication with them to understand quickly whether they're ready to take it on or not. You know, for instance, in Waukesha County, we've got a number of officers at different departments who are trained up to do these cases. They can take them. There might be other counties where they're not at that point. They're not ready to fly solo yet. We've got to know that quickly and then put DOJ resources on doing that case.
Brad, let's talk about heroin. When I read the Journal Sentinel stories out of Hudson, you know, those are just heartbreaking. Hudson is a growingly urban area, but the problem is also tragically in our rural areas. Have we achieved any major significant progress in attacking heroin, or is it growing more out of control tragically every day?
You know, what's troubling about this is, as we have seen the administration of Narcan, the antidote to an opiate overdose,
which saves these.
It does, but as we've seen those go up dramatically, we're still seeing the deaths going up. So, you know, we're making progress, but we're not making progress as fast as the problem. I like to say, we're moving forward in a Model A, and the problem's still cruising in a Ferrari. So we are going to have to up the resources on this. Go ahead.
Does it start in medicine cabinets with people not throwing out the OxyContin they may have been taken for surgery or something?
Right. And let's be careful about that phrase, throwing out, because we don't want people putting in their garbage or flushing it down the toilet, because that ends up in our water table. We need to take those pills to the proper disposal sites. And one of the tools that we got from Representative Nygren's HOPE legislation was the ability for law enforcement agencies to have drop boxes. Next problem we've created, though, with that is now law enforcement has to find a place to get rid of these things safely. And under current EPA rules, they're forced to to take them all the way down to a disposal site in Indiana. And that's expensive for the law enforcement agencies to do. I think we're going to see them reluctant to keep going forward to this unless we find some other solutions. So we've got to do that. But your question about starting in medicine cabinets is dead on. We do need to make the medical community partners in this. And I've already met with representatives from the Hospitals Association, the State Medical Society, and the Dental Association, and they're anxious to become partners on this. They recognize that that these drugs started being prescribed by doctors without really full information, and a lot of the doctors that prescribe them don't really know that what's happening is that this becomes the source when these drugs are diverted. Either they're being stolen by someone, or you've got someone that's getting prescriptions based on, you know, lying. And when you're talking about pain, which is what these drugs are designed to help, oftentimes a doctor can't measure that. We're getting more and more doctors who the pain specialists who are recognizing that it isn't always the best way to treat chronic pain with just throwing these pills at it. And so more and more they're moving away from it. We're going to have to reach the others too. And there are some ways we can do it. Some of that's going to involve talking with legislators to convince them to pass some legislation. You know, for instance, we have a prescription drug monitoring program in Wisconsin. You can look right on there and see if this patient is getting certain types of prescriptions from another doctor or provider. All too often, they're not looking. I had a case in my county it was a police lieutenant who had four different doctors prescribing her prescription narcotics, and it's clear no one else was looking because they wouldn't have kept giving her this many pills. But they all trusted their patient, didn't verify. We have to make sure the medical community knows you need to verify no matter who your patient is.
Do we need a law that says you must check this against the database?
I think we do. I hate to interfere with how doctors treat their patients, but this is a simple thing to do, and I think it's something we should require because the damage these drugs are doing out in the community, I think, justifies looking at doing a law to do that.
I want to ask you a question that I ask you when you're a candidate, because now you're Attorney General elect. Define the phrase top cop, sir.
Well, you know, the biggest part of it is the resource allocation, because the Attorney General delegates the resources for training law enforcement and prosecutors statewide. A big, big part of their training comes from DOJ funding. And then also, you make the determinations as to what that training is going to look like, and it's really important to then have the experience and the ability to see problems coming and not always just be chasing after them after it's too late, after there are tragedies occurring. And that's something, you know, for instance, when I talked about in Waukesha County, when we got our officers trained, we saw the coming storm. So when the problem got worse, we were already trained up in how to investigate those cases. That's the kind of thing you need to be able to do, is look forward and see that. And I think that's why it's important for the AG to be experienced.
You've been watching how the Department of Justice has changed over the last 4 and 8 years. One of the changes has been the growth of the establishment of a concealed weapon licensing. Mm-hmm. Has that worked pretty effectively? Do you want any changes in that system?
I'm not looking for any changes. Right now, you know, we're not having any gunfight at the OK Corral on any of our streets. There aren't people using that permit and or having that permit and doing anything irresponsible with it. And at the same time, those who are seeking the permit are able to get it quickly. The process is pretty well expedited. So it doesn't seem to have any bugs in it. I think we can leave well enough alone. I'm not going to be advocating for the legislature to make changes.
And Democrats will continue, some of them, to push background checks. Universal, you don't see that at any merit?
They might. I don't see the value in it. You know, the answer to our gun violence problem is not making it more difficult for law-abiding gun owners to get guns and to pass them on to family members or do private sales. That doesn't solve the problem, because the problem is a person who's going to commit a violent crime with a gun it doesn't care whether they filled out the forms, doesn't care whether they have a permit to carry the gun concealed. So it isn't going to change that. And there are so many guns out on the streets now that they can get their hands on. They find a way. You're not going to stop it by requiring this. And it's pretty, you know, the process is going to become pretty complicated if you do that for private gun owners. You can expect that a gun dealership, a store, that has a license for doing it, you could expect that they could have procedures in place for how to do background checks, because they're going to do it all the time, every day. How does a private citizen know how to do a background check on a gun they sell? I don't know how that's going to be. I don't know how it's going to be practical for them.
But the two or three times that Wisconsin I has interviewed the City of Milwaukee Police Chief Flynn, he said that we need tougher laws for those with criminal records who are in possession of guns. Is that something you've discussed with him? Are you aware what specific changes he wants, sir?
I'm not familiar with what specific changes Chief Flynn wants, but I'll tell you, we have got gun laws, or we've got laws in our books that give us the ability to lock up people who possess guns illegally or use them for violent crime. We have the ability, we have those laws, we need to use them. We need to make sure we're doing investigations properly and getting those people locked up. And you know, you can, I've met with inner city leaders in Milwaukee and talked with them about this issue. And you know, they're concerned about the high incarceration rates for minorities in Milwaukee, that from Milwaukee, but they also, they are not concerned about incarceration rates when you're talking about people that end up using guns for violence. They're happy to see those people taken out of their community.
The changes in DNA and taking of DNA samples. Mm-hmm. There was a law passed. Is it a workable law?
It is. It is. We're going to have to use it very carefully and make
it'll,
sure.
It'll dramatically expand the number of DNA samples taken. Well, excuse me for interrupting.
Oh, yes, it will.
Which will raise the cost for your agency, correct?
It's going to. It's my understanding, though, that is being allocated in the budget that's being sought, and the okay. legislature understood that when they passed that was going to come with a price. There was a fiscal estimate, and yes, it will.
As a veteran prosecutor, talk to me how you've seen the role of DNA evolve, sir.
We know when I started in the DA's office 25 years ago, that DNA was kind of the stuff of Star Trek. It, as a science, it existed. But no one could afford to use it, and frankly, the science was still a little bit immature, such that it didn't give us the kind of certainty that we have now from it. And over the years, it has become, the science has become better, the science has become easier and less expensive, and now it's more available to us. So in the last 15 years now, we've seen this grow and grow, and now in the last decade, it's just exploded the number of times that we're using that to solve crimes.
Let's go back over something else that we talked in the campaign. Why do you want the offices that oversee the DAs and the ADAs moved to the Justice Department, Brad?
Yeah, because over at the Department of Administration, it's such an enormous agency. I like to call it the Department of Almost Everything. There's such an enormous agency that, you know, the mission of the DA's program isn't really consistent with all the rest of the things they do. And we're very, very small, because all we are, we don't have equipment, we don't have vehicles, we don't have a lot of costs. We just have the employee costs, and there are 400 some prosecutors, state prosecutors statewide, and we're a very small part of their budget. And it, because of that, and I serve on the Wisconsin District Attorneys Association Board of Directors, we've had a lot of trouble getting traction, getting interest in what we do. We usually have to go through the legislature and get them to be sparked on it, or go directly to the governor and get him interested in the issue. Over at DOJ, they'll be top priority for me. I mean, that will be a huge piece of my mission. It'll end up being about a third of the staff at the office, and we're going to focus on getting them resources, and it'll enable us to work more directly to get resources to the local prosecutors, because ultimately that's the most important place where the rubber hits the road in the criminal justice system, is making sure people are fairly and effectively convicted for the crimes they've committed. And it's also important too that prosecutors have the resources they need, because when they can take the time to look at cases critically and carefully, we reduce the risk that somebody get improperly convicted of a crime, or that there be overcharging, and that's unconscionable. It shouldn't happen, but it is the danger we face when those offices are understaffed. You know, right now we have huge deficits in our special prosecutor program. Not very much money is budgeted to it. And if they were over at DOJ, I could do things differently. Like just earlier this year, I had the longest serving prosecutor in the state of Wisconsin retired from my office. And I replaced him with a brand new out of law school assistant DA.
Wow. With none of the experience.
None of the experience, but we just saved the state about $70,000, I think it was.
Wow. And the difference in the pay base?
And that money was just gone. If we move that over to DOJ, if we move them over to DOJ, I'll take that $70,000 and turn it right back into the program to keep bolstering the resources they need.
The average ADA in Wisconsin, how underpaid is she or he?
You know, the starting pay isn't terrible. They come in at about $49,000 a year. And you know, for people right out of law school, going into public service, that's not terrible. The problem we had faced for years was that they didn't move. And so we've got an awful lot of people who've been there for 6, 8, 10, 12 years who sat stagnant for a long time. You know, before we managed to achieve merit-based pay progression for assistant DAs, we had individuals who 6 years into the office had moved to about $52,000 a year. The problem is, and it still sounds great except for one thing, the average person coming out of UW Law School has about $86,000 in student debt, I think,
yes.
And Marquette, it's over $100,000, and come from out of state schools, you're seeing more of that same. So these are people putting their student loans on a 30-year amortization, and they're never going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I can keep them there for about 5 years until they decide to get married, buy a home, start having kids, and suddenly they're not going to make ends meet and they leave. And that's about the time I've got them to the point that I'm ready to push them out of the nest and say fly.
Right. You ran your first statewide campaign.
Yeah.
Lessons learned about campaigning statewide as opposed to in just one county, sir?
Well, you know, we set out to go everywhere, to go to all of the dinners in the different counties and do those things. And I had some people who told me, hey, you're wasting your time doing that. You should just make phone calls and get money so you can run TV commercials. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. Going statewide enabled me to learn that every community in this state is a little bit different than other communities. And everybody's not just like Waukesha County. So I'm glad for that. And it also helped me grow as a candidate. And it's going to make me a better attorney general because of the growth I've had by reaching out to so many different people.
The negative ads that were run against you, did you recognize yourself in those ads?
Gratefully, I didn't get a chance to watch much TV.
Okay.
Because I've been on the road so much. And to the voters that had to endure that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this is how races have become. You know, early on, you and I have had substantive conversations about the issues relating to the attorney general's office. Unfortunately, though, out on the campaign trail, when we would release plans for going after a particular public safety challenge, we had a heck of a time getting media to get interested. And we couldn't get stories printed. We couldn't get on the TV news with it. And then all of a sudden, when the negative things started eking in and there was controversy, then the media got interested more, and those stories run. And you lost all of that was out there, because I know my opponent also was out talking about what she wanted to do in the office and talking about issues, and we both had so much trouble getting traction on that.
I was interested in what you told Channel 3 last night. You said you were asked why you ran a negative ad, and you said, I'm paraphrasing now, so correct me, I just wasn't going to take it. Explain that.
Well, you have to fight back, because if the negative ad goes unanswered, and negative ads ran against me, if they go unanswered, people are going to believe it, and you can get hurt. You're not going to win the election. You have to come back and draw the contrast. Now, it's important when you run the ads that you base them on truth and not on falsehoods.
Is it fair to say you will be a fairly low-profile attorney general? If the benchmark is J.B. Van Hollen, I didn't see him in terms of recommending major policy changes. So that's kind of my definition. Have I got it wrong?
You know, I think there may be some times when people will hear more about what I'm doing than they have with J.B. We're coming into the office at different times.
Yeah.
I mean, he came in, he had the list of things he needed to do at the office were very different than what I'm facing now, because the office is in different shape. It's my position that it's in much better shape than it was 8 years ago. I think J.B. Van Hollen did the citizens a service by improving things there. But it is my basic philosophy that if a prosecutor is not in the news, that's good news. And that's how I try to do things as Waukesha DA too. When you're in the news, it means something's going wrong that you have to address. And that's not ideal, but there will be times that it's going to have to happen. And I am going to try to communicate more broadly than J.B. Van Hollen did about what we're doing at the Department of Justice.
Almost out of time, so just a couple questions. In a year from now, you'll have considered that you've been a pretty effective Attorney General if, finish the sentence.
If we're making progress on this heroin and prescription opiate problem.
Okay.
Yeah, that's number one.
And when all the pundits, myself excluded, of course, make a list of potential GOP candidates for governor in 2018, should your name be on it?
No.
Okay.
I'm running. I ran to get this job. I'm a prosecutor. I want to go out with my boots on.
Attorney General-elect Brad Schimmel, now the DA of Waukesha County. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.